Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft all year round. Focusing purely on AFL Fantasy today because we have just completed our second annual Draft Doctors Mock Draft with a bunch of fantasy community favourites. We'll be reviewing the draft, discussing some of the picks, some strategies, and how we felt about our teams. Thanks to all the drafters involved that helped across a couple of days this weekend. I'll run through the drafters in a moment, but here, as always, it's Stevie Fears. Welcome.
G'day, boys, and g'day, listeners, of course. Just down here in the great nation of Portland, locked away from the coronavirus. I'm terrified of this thing. Strample for the coronavirus.
Gee whiz, Strample for the corona. Jono, probably sipping on a few coronas. Boys. How are you, mate?
I'm good. G'day, listeners. And I've got to do a bit of a self-strample. I think, Steve, you put out on the twits that strample those people use shopping trolleys at the self-service checkout. I am guilty.
I went down the shops the other day, and there's like five...
I am a lazy prick, and if I've got a shopping trolley, I'm taking up all the fucking room I want because I'm an arrogant prick.
Yeah, and
fuck
that's right.
Else. I don't give a shit.
And that's the problem. There's no courtesy. I was shocked. And then The worst part was Mrs. Fizz gets on Twitter, goes, oh, when I have baby Fizz in the trolley, I go there. When do you ever go shopping? She goes shopping once in a blue moon, and she generally does it at Aldi as well. So it was just like taking pot shots from the cheap seats. Not happy. Not happy.
But to be honest, if I don't have the trolley, I'd try to get to the far end so I can have it on the side away from people.
All right. Also a trolley man as well. Sorry, boys. Cam is here to join us. How are you, Cam?
Yeah, good, man. Also a trolley guy. I'm all about... And you know what? I'm the person that overestimates what I need to buy from the store. So I end up with a trolley full of, like, one item. And then I still go through that lane. Love it.
You blokes are cunts.
Wow. The triple stremple. All right, we'll go through the drafters quickly for our mock draft that we did have across the weekend, and I'll go through the picks as well. So drafter number one at pick one was Zaino from OTLS. Then at two, you had Stevie Fizz drafting a bit higher than you usually like to, I think, Steve. Third was Archie from Over the Line Sports. Fourth, the Mighty Statesman. Fifth, we had Christian from the Extended Bench podcast. At six was Cam McLaughlin. Seven, Warnie. No introduction needed there. Eight was me. Nine was We Got Big Cox, a Draft Doctor's favourite, of course, an occasional contributor. And then at 10 was Jonathan Crockett. The rules of the draft, we had 5-7-1-5. Five defenders, seven mids, one ruck, five forwards. It was 10 teams, of course, 22 rounds, so four on the bench. Captains on, and it was AFL Fantasy scoring. And we did it on the AFL Fantasy app due to Warnie forcing us to there. But it went pretty well, boys. I think it went down well. Now, I'll just run through the first three rounds, and then we'll go through our thoughts on some picks that stood out potentially. But all right, we'll take you through. At one, Brody Grundy. Two, Lockie Whitfield. Three, Jack McRae. Four, Josh Dunkley. Five, Adam Treloar. Six, Tom Mitchell. Seven, Max Gawn. Eight, Josh Kelly. Nine, Jake Lloyd. And 10, Patrick Dangerfield. Maybe just a quick comment on the first round, lads, before I move to the second.
Pretty standard.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
All right. Round two. Zach Merritt at 11. At 12, Stephen Canelio. 13, Timmy Taranto. 14, Andrew Gaff. 15, Clayton Oliver. 16, Dustin Martin. 17, Rory Laird. 18, Lachie Neal. 19, Matt Crouch. And 20, his brother, Brad Crouch. Now, just will remind you can get all these on the Draft Doctors website. I'll be putting up all the picks on there, every round there, all the picks, and then you can look at the teams as well. So easy access. Now, we'll just do the third round, and then we'll do a little review. 21 was Isaac Heaney. 22, Marcus Bontempelli. 23, Toby Green. 24, Patrick Cripps. 25, Jack Crisp. 26, Nat Fyfe. 27, Dane Zorko. 28, Michael Walters. 29, Elliot Yeo. And 30, Dan the Hype Train Houston. Boys, what do we think of those first three rounds?
Well, the Bond and Pally pick I actually really like, especially this year. I think he's going to go bigger than that 104 average he got. So he's possibly a 108 to 110 average. So Steve picked him up there, pick 22, which I really like that pick as well.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid one. What do we think of Dan Houston going this high? Bit of a hype train building. I mean, I saw him at the Intra Club. He did play as a midfielder. He was on the second team, though, I suppose you could say, just to give him that midfield minutes when I was watching. They had the other guys on the other team. So what do you think? Is he still, is he going to be value at that pick?
It can go seriously wrong. And I just looked at the guys who went after him. Like, if you're on the Houston train, if Jono didn't take him there, you're not getting him essentially. So if you want someone, you got to get him. Was it good value, poor value? Well, you really only find that out at the end of the season. Probably early for me compared to some of the safety of the other picks. But whatever.
Yeah, Oswald actually picked him, and the reason I did pick him was because I'm there on the turn at pick 10, 11. I'm waiting so long between picks. It's part of my strategy to nail down two quality defenders, so could have been pick 31 easily, but I'm all aboard the Houston hype train this year, so I really wanted to get him, and it actually would have been interesting to see what your guys' thoughts on where you are more comfortable drafting him. Would it be in that fourth round or maybe a little bit later?
What do you think, Cam?
Yeah, I think probably fourth round is about right, and only because I did that in my home league last week. But from your perspective, Jono, like as Steve was saying, if you're that high on him, you kind of had to take him there because you weren't going to get him 20 picks later. And really, you basically need him to go 95 to 100 to be really happy with him there, I think, and he'll probably do that.
I will say, do you think I took Timmy T in the second round? I don't know if it'll change his where he's drafted much, but we saw recently, I think the news came out after I drafted him, actually, that Cal Ward's going to miss the first, three, four, five rounds, whatever, of the season. Do you think people were more likely to be happy taking Tim Taranto a bit earlier with that news, or do you reckon he's probably still going around where I got him?
Oh, I'd say he's probably going where you got him. Like, you got to remember, like, if people are generally drafting based on the previous season's average, it's probably a fair spot. I'd say, like, maybe the public will say it's good for Tim Taranto. I think it's probably better news for Jacob Hopper, but, that's fine.
Alrighty, well, I think maybe we'll just move on now to draft strategy. Again, you can check out all the picks and who made those picks as well on the Draft Doctor's website. We'll chuck up an article up there. But draft strategy, guys, what was your plan? Let's talk about if you executed that plan, and are you happy with your team? Maybe we'll start with Cam. How about that?
Yeah, it was pretty obvious, actually, when you see the picks, but it was mids for days. Basically wanted to go the four straight mids and then sort of key mid for the four picks after that.
And Cam, you had pick six as well heading into the draft. And it was a snake. I should say it was a snake draft. I didn't mention that at the top.
Yeah, that's right. So pick six, snake. The idea was to get most of the big boppers, or the most big boppers that I could. While people were starting to rush for the big keys, like my sort of theory was that given who's drafting in this draft, that people would be more inclined to go for a big key defender or a big key forward in the first couple of rounds to get one on the board. And I thought that while that was happening, I could probably nail away four, top tier mids. And so I ended up doing that. And then, when everyone switched back to getting their mids, I was able to get a decent D1 at Nick Newman and locked away my ruck as well. So, I was pretty happy with how it went. I like my team going into the year. I think it's got a lot of upside, fair bit of risk, a lot of upside though. Pumped.
All right, Jono, take us through your team and talk about, you had pick 10, so you had the turn. Let's talk about your strategy and if you were happy with your result in your draft.
Yeah, so pick 10, start off with Danger. I did actually have a plan to go in with this draft using our mock simulator. I've been working sort of on a formula. Can you draft specifically in certain positions using your tiers? And while I started doing that very early on, it just showed that it is no way viable where you can just going to take a mid here, defender, et cetera, et cetera. So I actually had to throw that out the window and then just sort of went with a best available policy and then just started filling in the gaps. So started off with double midfielder with Danger and Merritt, and then went Houston Stewart, and then I waited till round 7 to get my first forward in Jeremy Cameron, and that's sort of what I'll be looking to do come our home league and any other draft, is just punt the forwards, and that's sort of like everyone else was doing as well.
Okay, so you'd rather punt the forwards, Jono, this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to be plenty available. Like later on the draft, I was able to get Franklin and Westhoff really late in the draft, so if they can produce something, then yeah, I'll be happy with that.
That's where the value is. Steve, you went with the early forward in Lockie Whitfield at 2. Take us through your strategy as well, and whether you were happy with your team.
Oh, well, it's just the simple old, I'll take the best available in my tiers. You know, we were sort of doing this. It was a slow draft, so we were doing this all over the shop. I was at work. I was, you know, in bed. I was everywhere, so I didn't always have my rankings available. I just went with sort of the guys I felt comfortable with. So obviously got Whitfield first. I was pretty happy enough to get Matt Crouch at the back of the second. The pick that was interesting for me was my pick at the start of the third round. I was really considering Brody Smith. I'm super, super high on him this year. I got him ranked as my D2 in AFL Fantasy. But I really needed to square away that second midfielder for mine, because it was obviously so long to wait before I got the next one. And I was lucky enough to get Brody Smith at the back of the fourth. Just I figured I'd have him ranked so much higher than everyone else. I was a bit nervous in the fourth round when all the defenders started peeling off the board, but I was able to get my man. So it sort of worked out that way. But just again, it's a good exercise to practice drafting these different strategies, because I hate taking a forward with my first pick. I hate it. I'd much rather the mids and defenders. They're just high value positions.
Well, in that sense, though, did you think it worked out okay doing it this way in this draft, or were you a bit unhappy and maybe do it a bit different next time?
It wasn't. So what I ended up doing was I felt like my team ends up, your team ends up vanilla when you do this, right? And you really need a few things to go your way over the season with anything. But what I ended up doing was sort of with those 13 plus onwards rounds, sort of the lower value rounds, I was sort of looking for guys who might end up getting defender DPP. Not that I'm saying I would draft someone because they're going to get DPP or anything like that. Did I add an extra P there? BYOBB. That's a typo. but it's so it was like, it was a good tiebreaker. So it was like when those mids were, I think it was James Harms is like my M6. He's playing in defense. Okay, it's a good tiebreaker with him over whoever else was there, sort of thing. And when great one. Or when I was round 20, I think one of my favorite pick, Ben McAvoy, like he's training as a key defender.
Yeah,
he'll get defender status. Holy shit, he could end up like playing pure ruck with defender status by round 10.
Yeah, because like, he scored so well playing as a defender last year as well.
No, that's not the point. No, you're looking. You're looking at this all wrong.
I get what you're saying.
This is where things work out. You look at Rowan Marshall last year. He was the number one ruckman for his team, but he had forward status. Like, you need these things to break your way. If the Segler thing doesn't work out after a month, well, Big Boy gets defender status, and
then he bumps.
And he's the number one ruck, and it costs you a round 20 pick, which you're probably going to throw in the bin anyway.
It's a nice one. I'll say me, I was picking at pick 8, and I just basically, I don't know if I necessarily came in with a strategy, just wanted to see who fell to me and if I was happy taking someone there. That I'm not comfortable at the moment taking Lloyd that early, to be honest. So I was pretty much keen for a mid. Now, I don't know if you guys are different. I think we sort of spoke about it and you say, oh, I don't know, maybe I would have taken Lloyd there. Is it crazy to be a little bit worried about their defensive six now and those competition for touches? Because we have heard now that Jordan Dawson's likely to play back there. He did affect him a little bit last year. There's Rampy, who had a fair bit more of it last year. Alir, we imagine spending less time in the ruck, more down there. Cunningham potentially coming back, maybe playing a bit there, maybe a bit on the wing. Will Gould, of course, taking a few cheeky kick-ins. Now, I'm just saying, I don't know if I'm ready to spend that first round pick on Jake Lloyd at this time, and I was pretty stoked getting Josh Kelly as that top level beast captain option that I wanted. So that's the way I went, and then I think I was pretty happy with my draft in the end
because you got all your cheap ass. I didn't young boys.
I didn't mind your draft, Dossie. I'm never going to... If you don't feel comfortable drafting someone, don't draft them just because this is where people have got him ranked. Like, that's silly. You know, that's the whole point of draft, is to go with your thoughts.
And I went the double J-dubs as well, Josh Kelly and Timmy T. So, can never get enough J-dubs. All right, did you guys notice anything across the league that seemed to be a strategy or a way that people drafted?
Yeah, people were punting forwards, left, right, and center. I think Cam got his first one, pick in the seventh or eighth round like I did.
Yeah.
And he got Paddy Lipinski as a first forward. Yikes. I noticed Steve...
Yikes, that's so good.
Pick two with Lachie Whitfield. His second forward was Darcy Parrish at pick 82. So there's lots of big gaps between the forwards. That's what I noticed, but... Everyone seemed to have a pretty okay forward line, except for Cam.
I think the interesting thing about it was we got a question. It's like, did anyone try a different strategy like forwards early? And in hindsight, it was like, well, fuck, we should have done that. Or like one of us should have done that sort of thing, you know? But too much ego, because the draft would be going on and you'd just be getting slammed by everyone. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't matter, guys. It's just a practice.
I literally had the... I think we all had the same notes. I just have here, this league went heavy on the D early and left the forwards lingering. So,
yeah.
I do doubt that happens in a lot of leagues, though, as well. I mean, it might happen in some, but I think we were all very lukewarm on the forwards apart from those top sort of first few tiers, and just nobody wanted to be the first one to go. And it just ended up being that the forwards fell quite a bit. But yeah.
I think, like, something I noticed as well was that everyone was trying... There were probably at least five people that were really trying to draft a really balanced side and sort of going like one defender, one mid, one forward, one defender, one mid, one forward, and similar structures to that. And people, like, it happened to Warney, Zeno, maybe Archie a little bit as well, and the fella from the extended bench, whereby their mids 5 to 8 are questionable. Like, really questionable. And I think there's such a steep drop-off of mids sort of after the 8th to 9th round that it got really, really sketchy there for people that left them late.
I mean, the teams that went heavy on the mids early did tend to look pretty damn good at the end. But I want to talk maybe to you, Steve, and Cam, because you did, go really light on the forwards. And do you think it could be a little bit scathing early in the year, but you guys went that way? I'm guessing with that strategy, you think it's not as dangerous though, because you'd be fine just picking up a streamer or two with a good matchup in the early rounds if guys like, say, a Paddy Dow, Steve, doesn't work out early.
Well, that was probably the greatest troll pick since my home league last year. I picked Tom Mitchell in, was it around 21 or 2 or something, and everyone just lost their brain. But this is the thing, is like forwards are such a low value position. Like, there's so many forwards, and when we know we can play matchups, I would basically always draft a bench midfielder before I'm filling out my my forward line. Just no questions about it. And it works. Like, I think last year in Jono, I mean, I don't want to refer to our home league all the time, but I was rolling three forwards off the waiver wire basically every week. Because someone's going to pop. That's where the emergence comes from. And if you look at the top 100 players in Ultimate Footy, most of the midfielders are drafted. It's rare you get one like pop from the waiver wire. I know it does happen, but not all the time. But if they do pop, they'll have a forward status. But you get the forwards and defenders pop with regular occurrence. Like, would it shock anyone if... There's four key ruck forwards who are like the backups in the situation. Like, I'm talking like Big O, Big O, Laddams, Paddy Ryder, and I think there's one more. Can't quite place who it is. But if any of these guys if any of these guys get the solo ruck, or even Rory Lobb starts forward, gets forward status, and then Darcy breaks down, you know, those sort of situations, if any of those guys end up getting the solo ruck, they're bangers. And someone will, like a ruckman will get injured, definitely.
Yeah. Well, let's talk quickly. Would you change the strategy if you did it again? We sort of briefly touched on Steve, I think. But Jono, do you think you'd change your strategy on the turn there?
No, probably not. Because I think you're pretty much, especially with the pick so wide, you're forced in, into your draft strategy there. Like I said, I was trying to go, like, you know, one forward, one mid, one defender, but it just didn't work, so I had to change it up. And then best strategy, but I'd keep it the same and go mid-heavy.
What about you, Cam?
I think I changed one thing. So I did take Wits, I think, in round 8-ish?
Seven.
Thanks for that. I think I'd probably go for another defender there. So I'd probably go, I would have gone Newman, mid, Newman. And so I think it was my mid in that round was Warple.
And I'd throw in more key forwards. I'm one short of a full deck key forwards.
Tommy Mac on the waiver wire right now.
Done.
Wow.
Is it really?
All right. For me, I'm unsure, same as Cam, sort of unsure of that ruck situation, whether I'd do that again. I'm pretty happy. So I ended up getting Goldie, I think it was in the 12th round. I don't mind it at all, but I think in a league with less experienced drafters, say, I'd certainly be punting the rucks and finding the value in those mid-round selections in other positions, because I found like a few of you guys did it and I was almost trying to troll someone and pick up a ruck at some point, but you know, you just can't do it really. It's impossible to do it once you've done that. So I think if I did it again, say in my home league or something, I think I'm going to follow the punting ruck strategy just because the value is insane. We'll probably talk about where you guys picked up your rucks in a bit, but you know, the fact you can get Tim English so much further down, and I got Sean Darcy like on my bench, it's pretty crazy how far back they fall. I think Steve, maybe do run through, would you change, are you going to change if you had pick two in a draft, do you reckon you'd still just roll with the forward, or you did not like that way?
I probably didn't end up liking it. I'd probably go McRae over Whitfield. I know that might be a little bit of a bad thing, but you know, I'd probably just feel a bit more comfortable with McRae than I don't know why. I don't know why. Like, you look at the numbers and it says, but these are the numbers from last year, and obviously we don't know, we know they don't repeat. So I'd probably just feel a bit safer with McRae.
I also totally forgot about the ankle Rico. I totally forgot about that. And I saw an article being like, oh, yeah, the only thing that's different is Lachie Whitfield had the full ankle reconstruction in the offseason. I was like, hold up.
Wait, what?
Yeah, and we got to remember, like, those guys played such little footy together last year, like the Cornelios and Kellys and Greens. Like, I think they played one game together.
Mm. It's going to be interesting. I think, do you think that the ADP, like, for people having their draft where we sort of suggest in between the Marsh series and round one, do you think the way, you know, McRae comes out and blitzes it and Whitfield just doesn't do all that good or just looks a bit off, do you reckon that's just going to make it way more easy for people to decide, you know, who's going at two?
Yeah, of course. The eye test gives you everything. A recency bias.
Well, you look at Tom Mitchell on last Friday afternoon in the scratch match and, you know, just brained it and shooting up draft boards now.
If he comes out and has, say, 14 touches in a half of the Marsh series, he'll be a top five pick.
He had 21 disposals just in the half in the scratch match, so...
All right, pick you regret. Let's go through our picks we regret. We'll go around the different circles this time. We'll start with Steve first. A pick you regret in the draft.
Well, Lachie Whitfield.
All right, we've talked enough about that, I think. Then, Jono, take us through your pick you regret.
Probably not a pick, but probably drafting too many key forwards, really. I didn't realize I was doing it until the end. I got four key forwards.
All right, take us through those key forwards then, John.
So it's Jeremy Cameron, Buddy Franklin, Justin Westhoff, and Jack Riewoldt.
Beautiful. All right, Cam, your pick you regret.
Yeah, it's probably Wits. I think if I had my time again, I'd probably fully punt rucks. The logic was to try and get three lines where I was pretty happy with. And so I was happy enough with defenders, happy enough with the mids, happy enough with, you know, if I had the ruck in there, then I only have to worry about that forward line. But unfortunately, punt rucks next time.
Yeah. I reckon, I mean, something that's like, I'm in a 14 team league. I don't know if there's too many. It's mostly 10 and 12s out there. In a 14 league team, something like that, you're going to be a little sketchier just punting those rucks. If when we get down to 13 and 14, you're going to be like, oh boy, that's don't want to be having a old pit net out there
on territory and neck.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, the pick I probably regret, I don't know if I regret it, but Sam Doherty, what did you think? Did I go a little early? The thing is, I didn't trust my ranks here. It came down to the crunch. I had Sicily ahead in my ranks, and then I went the Doc. And maybe that's just because I have to adjust. Maybe it's just because I'm too hyped on the Doc. But I think overall, I don't regret it when I look at my team, but, you know, the average that's going to be next to his name this year, who knows what that's going to be, and that could be a regret. What did you guys think about Doherty? I took him pretty early, I'd say.
It's in the second round, wasn't it?
No, it's the fourth. No, I don't mind.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Oh, okay. So it's just after Stuart, Hooley, and Houston have gone. So it's just in front of Zach Williams, Daniel, Sicily, and Brody Smith.
It's probably about right.
It's fine.
Okay, actually, yeah, I thought it was a little earlier than that. Yeah, that's actually, I don't regret that.
All right. And if you didn't take him there or a top line defender there, you missed him. That was it.
Yeah, I was stuffed. All right, best pick you made now. We'll take it back to you, Steve. Which one were you most stoked with?
Probably Brody Smith at 39 because I was really in the ballpark to get him at 21. So to get him at 39, I thought was really nice value.
Yeah, fantastic. And that's just backing your rank. You backed your ranks as well. You figured you've noticed the discrepancy that, you know, we've got Brody Smith down here. You've got him way up here. You're like, okay, I can wait a little bit and get my D1 that I want as well.
Yeah, and that's just sort of using your ranks and ADP. It's all well and good to have one or the other, but using him in conjunction is really going to give you that super value. And I thought Tom Lynch in like round 14 or something, Handsome Tom, was pretty reasonable as well. Darcy Parrish in 9, but forward slid, so who knows?
Yeah. Jono, which pick were you pretty happy with yourself about?
I was pretty happy with getting the fraud himself in the 14th round there. Well, because he did come out and say he's going to start off the season inside mid and then eventually work his way out. So forget
this. This is Joel Selwood.
Joel Selwood, that is, yeah. So we'll get some good value out of him earlier, then punt him off to someone who wants him and watch as his skills drop off the planet. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Cam, best pick.
Oh, mine was actually a run. So 9, 10, 11, all defenders, 3 defenders in a row, and filled out my bench pretty well with 80-plus defenders. Love
so,
it.
So, Cam, you're just stoked with 3 of your picks. You can't choose one.
No, can't choose one. Package them all together.
Wait, Miller in round 10 was a banger.
That's fine. What's wrong with it?
I don't think it's great. Oh. I would not want him as my D2.
I think he's going to be like awesome this year.
Okay.
Like quite good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Is it bad that I think my best pick was Charlie Constable?
I think that's your worst pick.
No way, dude. And
Bailey Smith was his worst pick in round 11.
No, Constable's worse.
No, get around him.
Constable's on your field. Constable is your M7.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
Bailey Smith is F3. What are you talking about?
Why don't you run through your defender? Why don't you run through your team for us, Dossie? We're going okay for time. People want to know. Give them some context.
My whole team?
Yeah.
All right, we got Doherty.
Go defenders, then mids, then ruck, then forwards. We can all do
all
that.
All right, we got Doherty. Doherty, Jordan Dawson. Oh, how good to have him. Connor Blakely, Braden Maynard, and Hamish Hartlett. The mids, Josh Kelly, Timmy. I got him late, real late. Josh Kelly, Timmy Taranto, the double G dubs. Seb Ross, Travis Boak. I watched him in the intra club trial on Friday night, and then lo and behold, it was my pick. And boy, oh boy, I picked him up too quick. He had about 50 touches in the first half. Tom Phillips, I picked up. And then Dom Sheed, and of course, Charlie, the man, Constable. Todd Goldstein was my ruck. And my forwards, Michael Walters, Jade Gresham, Connor the Weapon Rosie, Bailey Smith, and James Rowbottom. Yes, that is a lot of young players, I do admit. You can hammer me for that. And then the interchange, Sean Darcy, Andy McGrath, Taron Thomas, my mistake, and of course, Bailey Williams, the Western Bulldogs GOAT defender.
Easton Wood 2.0.
Get around him. All right, is that enough content for you, Steve? Everyone loved it. Charlie Constable for me, it's going to go one of two ways, of course. Charlie plays in the AFL, and he's Charlie Constable, and we all love the coach. Or he plays in the VFL, and the coach is Charlie Constable, if you will. Okay, we'll move on to the worst pick in the draft. Steve, your worst pick, please.
Yeah, I got two. Sorry, because I can't pick one. Sam Jacobs at 118. Steph Martin went 50 picks later. Like, Sam Jacobs is shit, right? Like, even if he started good, Mummy's playing at some point. And Tabiner at 120. I think that was just... Like, look at who went after him. It was Parfitt, Akers, Gunston, Buddy, Handsome Tom, The Hoff, Josh Caddy. That's just... He was at the top of the list. I panicked and pushed through.
Yeah, so we should say these are our worst pick overall, not your own pick, isn't it, as well? So
yeah,
we're looking at other drafters in the draft. So who was that pick there?
Sam Jacobs.
Sam Jacobs, I think, was Archie, and Tabiner was Zaino.
Okay. Well,
OTL's brand is just in tatters right now.
I will say, though, we did somewhat hammer Archie last year for picking up Grundy with pick one. I think that turned out all right for him, so maybe he's going to have the upper hand again. But unfortunately, I'll just get this one out of the way, because I didn't realize we had doubled up. I've just got Archie picking Matt Rowe as... not my favorite pick there as well. I haven't seen a heap of Matt Rowe, I'll admit. I saw some of him in the TAC Cup, but he picked him up at 138 in the 14th round. And after that, we had Stato picking up Trent Dumont in the next round. We had Bradley Hill go about 20 picks later. And for me, I think the best case scenario is if he's Sam Walsh 2.0, right? And the downside is that he could be a 70s or 80s guy when his upside isn't as high as those other guys in his first year. So, you know, you can go... I think Dumont and Bradley Hill basically are just safer picks for your midfield. And, I mean, it's not a terrible, terrible pick, but unless he goes pop like Sam Walsh, which I think we're overrating how good a number one pick can do just after how amazing Walsh was last year. Anyway, Jono, who's your least favourite pick in the draft?
Hunter Clark at pick 76. I just think that was way too early. And that was Christian... from the extended bench, because there was plenty of other options. I mean, Matty Suckling, who could average at least 85, could be a D2 for you, but that whole St. Kilda defense and team lineup, I'm just not sure what the hell's going to be happening there, and I'd really want to have that eye test before I go picking any St. Kilda players, really. And Bailey Smith at pick 108, just garbage.
Sorry, I couldn't find a key forward at 108 for you there, Jono. Yeah, I'm not sure on that one, but Cam, what was your least favourite pick?
Yeah, I'd hate to do this, but it's Warndog taking Cade Simpson in round 8. I hate that. I really hate it. So, like, even down to round 12, in round 12, Nick Haynes, Brad Shepherd, Vlosten, Suckling... And even Cunningham in 14, I'd take them all over Cade Simpson this year.
Well, I suppose the silver lining was Warney, I think, took Nick Haynes, so he got a bit of value perhaps back on the Haynes one. But yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that either. But the guys that were drafted near him was the Hunter Clark pick that Jono just didn't like. And I picked up Connor Blakely, who the hell knows how he goes the pick before Cade. So... Yeah, I don't know. It could go either way. I mean, Steve, you picked him at 13 in the mock last year, so...
Cade. I had him everywhere last year, man. I had him fucking everywhere, that stinky turd. He had a good run home, though. I'd probably go back.
What's funny was I think I picked up... We did our mock a bit earlier last year. You picked up Cade Simpson at 13. I picked up Connor Blakely about 19 last year before he popped a string. So, beautiful draft last year. Hopefully, this year's a little bit better. We'll go to your favorite pick, our best pick in the draft. Steve, who did you like the most?
Yeah, I thought Kane Lambert at 78. Not sure who made it. I think it might have been Archie, actually. So, he got the hate, he got the love. But I thought that was super value on Kane Lambert, especially when you consider, like, Darcy McPherson went, like, 17 picks before him. Tom Lynch went 64. You know, I'd probably rather Lambert than those guys straight off the bat.
All right, Jono, which one did you like the best?
Yeah, I actually like Warndog's Nick Haynes picking the 12th round. I think he's going to be pretty good this year. Probably going to be better in the other better format, Supercoach, but still like Nick Haynes this year. Played the 22 last year, and I think he does the same, if not goes better.
Can we talk about that? Because it was a bit of divide. Like, a lot of the guys love that pick. I'm off the Haynes train. Like, I think he's a good player, but I just think the run home last year was a bit of a furphy. Like, surely we're going to see Zach Williams go back into defence with the return of the midfielders, and I can't see him scoring quite as well. I think he'd be great in Supercoach with the intercepts and that, but I can't see him being a wonderful Dream Team player. Like, he'd be fine.
I had the same argument on... I think Cam and I discussed it on the rankings pod. I was on your side of the fence, Steve, and Cam was on the side that he thinks is going to be good. Maybe, Cam, just quickly run through again why you think he is going to be good.
Yeah, I actually think he just really excelled in that intercept role. Like, I'm really big on that type of role these days. It does really well in teams that use it well, and I don't think that's something Williams can provide. I think they're going to use him that way.
And that's fine. The disposals have to go down, though, surely. You get better players in that role. Like,
and it's if his disposals go down slightly from his big scores, but even slightly, he's still going to be a 90. He won't end up at 90, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, he was sort of scoring tons.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. He's a good player. It could happen. It could happen. I'm just cagey about it happening. It's probably a good spot to get him, though.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's a good spot. It was more so it.
Mm.
All right, Cam, what was your favourite pick?
I hate giving any credit to the Statesman, but it's actually Segler at 104. I was going to take him two picks later. But, you know, with the news about Big Boy playing more defence in the preseason, I just think in a 5-7-1, 5-4 league, the flexibility of a, you know, decent scoring ruck forward is quite good, and it allows you to keep four bench options to, you know, punt another forward or punt another mid or punt another defender. I think it just gives him maybe a little bit more flexibility, and his other ruck is no shaker either. It's Lysette. It's done pretty well.
I have a feeling if people are drafting in that sweet spot, his ADP might just go way too far to where I'm comfortable drafting him, though. I think we've drafted in a sweet spot where Stato's got some serious value potentially if he is in that role. But then when it comes to when we hopefully doing our draft sort of the week before the season, and we've seen Segler playing, you know, a couple of games of Marsh series, hopefully tailing it up in the ruck, I just think it's going to be, he could be one of the first forwards off the board.
Yeah, and I really think it's just flexibility, right? Like, it just, if you can have a ruck and then have this guy be your injury cover and score well as a forward, I think that's awesome.
All right. Well, my favorite pick, I will say, from the extended bench, pick 85, Braden Fiorini. Amazing value for the Fiorini. Amazing value. Round 9. Good on you, extended bench. He, you know, I was about to pick him up 3 picks later, so you did well. All right. I think that's what we've got. Whose team is your favorite team? If we've got a favorite team, Steve, do you want to give us your favorite team out of the lot?
Yeah, it was probably Coxie, where you got Big Cox. I thought he had a pretty solid draft, didn't really have any real weak spots, probably because he followed the don't draft a ruckman principle. Your team usually looks pretty good. I did the same thing, got my ruck in round 19, so it was always good. He had so his back line is Jake Lloyd, Basher Hooley. So, I mean, imagine starting with, what was it, like the top two averaging defenders from last year, or two of the top? SPS, Ryan Burton, Nathan Jones. So, I mean, it kind of went to shit there. But Cornelio, Elliot Yeo, McCluggage, Parker, Scheel, Hannabury, and Gibbs through the midfield. I mean, that's kind of nice. Gibbs looks like he'll pick up defender status as well. So, I mean, if you could slot him back and when Nathan Jones is out at pasture, that'd be pretty nice. Then Steph Martin in Iraq, got him late. That's nice. Jack Stephen, Chad Wingard, Hypeshaw, Jack Gunston and Tommy Papps in the forward line. It's pretty good. And Callan Ward, Fritsch, Tommy Cutts and Jacob Townsend on the bench. Like, that's a solid team top to bottom.
Pretty solid. So I don't know if you've... I mean, you've probably said this in the past, Steve, but I reckon one of the bigger takeaways I've taken from you here in terms of the late mids that you're talking about, your M7, M8s, is that you are pretty happy this year potentially going for someone that has a chance of DPP. I think in the past, you're sort of less inclined to do that. It just seems like this year, maybe with the Gibbs and with a few of these guys, you're not, you know, you're happy taking them.
I just think it's a good tiebreaker. That's all. Like, I mean, after round 13, most of those picks at some point turn over through the waiver wire system. So, I mean, Gibbs, it's a nice tiebreaker. Like, I mean, you got...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You got Cochin. Cochin's still in the pool, right? Like, Bryce Gibbs averaged less than him, I think, or similar. Like, it's a good tiebreaker.
Yeah, I think Cochin averaged nowhere near what Gibbs...
I don't know what happened. Like, no, I mean, Koch was bad. They were both bad, right? But
yeah.
I think it's a good tiebreaker. That's all I'm saying. Like, and if you look at if you're looking for something to, I would never use that as a thing. Like, I'm not gonna go, oh yeah, get James Harms in round 8 because he's gonna get defender status. That's gonna bite you in the ass. But in round 13, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Jono, we won't read the rest of these teams. We've read We Got Big Cox. We'll go through, because we do have them on the website, but Jono and Cam take us through your best teams. Jono, you first.
Actually, don't mind the Stato's team, to be honest. Got some really good picks, and he actually had some pretty late picks, like, I mean, Jamie McMillan, he took at the end of the draft, which is a pretty solid pick. Obviously better in the Supercoach, but still pretty good for AFL fantasy. Yeah, I don't mind his team at all. Don't mind it at all.
Boo!
All right. Cam, what did you think? Yeah,
Coxie for mine as well. It's just, it's a really good team. He's done really well. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to say, I mean, even though we gave him some of his picks, I really did like Archie's team, probably just minus the Matt Rau, and he did pick up Mundy as his backup, so I don't know how that's going to go. He's going to go to the waiver wire, but his team was pretty well balanced in the end. Of course, he has Jack McRae as his captain as well, so I didn't mind that one. But yeah, check out all those teams on thedraftdoctors.com.au. We will put an article up there, as I've mentioned a few times. So don't forget as well to subscribe on the iTunes or the Spotify's, or follow us wherever you get your podcast. We release every Wednesday during the preseason. We've got plenty coming up, including our fantasy BNF show, Steve. That's going to feature a whole heap of special guests from around the fantasy community.
Yep. Oh, you wanted more for what? Is there SEO on a podcast? Does that happen?
SEO.
All our ranks are on the site as well. We'll be doing our first update midweek this week, and they're all available for free. Check them out and download them as well on the website. And of course, you can get our 2020 draft kit with over 270 player profiles, all our takes on our favorite early, middle, and late picks as well. I think Statesman mentioned he got all his favorite picks in this mock draft. And we've also got some keeper content from Stato. And of course, practice your draft skills. We've all been practicing our draft skills, and we've got great teams in this mock draft from using the mock draft simulator. And you can get 2 of those free drafts per day as well, unless you can sign up, get all the bonus features, check out where the ADPs are going. You can download your drafts as well. So check them all out at thedraftdoctors.com.au. We're going to get some questions now from the social medias, and you can find us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter, and I'll go through some questions here that we've got. Once again, thank you to all the drafters that participated in our mock draft. We really do appreciate it. Our first question comes from @domsheed_pocket. He's punting forwards and loading up on mids and defenders. That seems to be the way to go, he reckons. Is there any danger in this losing its effect if everyone rolls the same plan? Could going against the grain and nailing 3 to 4 primo mids be beneficial from a point of difference and bargaining value point of view? Well, we didn't do this in our draft, but what do you guys think on that strategy?
Yeah, Hunter, I think it's a good strategy. But again, like he mentioned, be flexible. You don't want to go, oh, this is what I've got my plan. Like, I'll go mid-mid and then defender. Well, if all these gun defenders are off the board, you don't want to be taking a defender just for the sake of it, you know, if there's great forwards on the board sort of thing. So I think it's okay to have a plan, but certainly be flexible and adapt to the draft as it happens along the way.
Right, Cam, your boy Mickey Allen asks, what are your thoughts on drafting extra mids instead of filling out the other positions first? In our draft, I took a couple of big mids early with injury history, so I decided to take extra mids on the bench before filling D5 and F3 4 and 5. Cam, you want to answer your boy's question there?
Not really.
Jono.
can never have too many mids. There's always going to be injuries, and if you can get a couple there stashed on your bench, it's always great as well.
Ando Wallace, he says, I've got pick 8 in a 12-team draft, thinking of not worrying about rucks until the last rounds, just going hard on mids. Critique, please, gents. I think we're all about that this year, lads. Definitely loving the punting rucks.
Again, just be flexible, though. Like, if, say, Scotty Lysette is dropping to the 13th round, you know, go for
it. Get the value
in you. Yeah, you know, sometimes, like, sometimes you can force other players to adapt. I just say be flexible. And again, that other guy, like, taking a midfielder before F3, your bench mid before F3, I'm okay with that, but that's pretty goddamn aggressive.
I think as well, like, with the ruck, the more experienced drafters that you're drafting against, the more rucks are going to slide, because more people who sort of listen to podcasts and do a lot of prep are probably seeing the same strategy forming to punt the rucks, right?
Yeah, I mean, and it's sort of, I reckon it's all about that fourth ruck, right? Like, the first two rucks are going to, like, Grundy's obviously going to be pick one, Gorn's going to go back of round one, something like that. Riley O'Brien's probably going to go in round 3 or 4. What are you laughing about, Doss?
Yeah. I've just received a trade request in our mock draft. Steve Fizz has offered me Paddy Dow for Trav Boak.
How's that not getting over the line?
Just going to accept that. Excuse me a minute.
Yeah. So back to Riley O'Brien. He'll be the third ruck off the board. And I think it's really interesting, because if you got Rowan Marshall sliding a little bit on average, he kind of comes back into the pack with a lot of other ruckmen. So I think that's going to be key. If he goes right after Riley O'Brien, then you might see some people jump a bit early. And I think that's when you really want to start waiting.
Yep.
All right, I think we're done on the Twitter questions. Steve, do you want to take us through some of the questions flying through on Facebook? You can find us at The Draft Doctors. Search The Draft Doctors. That's where we are on Facebook.
Yeah, so Jordan asked, I'd like a review on someone drafted with a different strategy. Did anyone go hard on forwards? I think we sort of discussed that no, they didn't. But that's something you can definitely practice over on the Mock Draft Simulator. Maybe practice going hard on forwards and see how your team works out, how you like it. Scott asks, looking at positions... Oh, sorry, Zach asks, splits by position in the first 5 rounds, what have we got? Scott did also ask, looking at positions in the top 30, was it mid-heavy in round 2 and then to forwards? Jono, you had some numbers for us.
Yeah, so first 3 rounds, it was pretty heavy on the mids, and then it went to a sort of 1-to-1 there in that third round of mids and forwards. I got the 5 rounds here. So after 5 rounds, it was 3 rucks off the board. That was Grundy, Gorn, and O'Brien. We had 8 forwards drafted, 13 defenders, and 26 midfielders. So about 50% there midfielders, and the rest positional.
And that's pretty standard, I would say. And even in the first round, four of the first 10 were non-mid players.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, pretty standard there, you'd think. Especially with the midfielders being 50% drafted there in the first 5 rounds.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I'm still asking questions. Travis asks, if you have done pick swaps, Cam, why don't you answer this? If you have done pick swaps to end up with picks 2 and 8, what's the strategy?
Geez, that's pretty good. I'd love to know what he gave up, to be honest. But yeah, I'd be taking 2 big mids again. Well, I'm just so big on the big mids this year, and that's getting you 2 captain choices, assuming captain's on, 2 captain choices for the year.
So you wouldn't be tempted to, say, grab McRae and then Lloyd or Whitfield and then whichever, like, Kelly or something?
The assumption is that he's given up maybe his pick 3 or pick 4, and if that's true, then I think what's going to be left in mids by that point is going to be pretty garbage. I would take 2 mids.
Fair enough. And Stephen asks, is Dom is good? Did Dom Tyson get drafted this year, Cam?
No, not this year. No, he's in the waiver. I'll be right back.
It's hard to believe.
I'll be right back.
Maybe I'll go pick him up.
The Sheed. The Sheed fell. I was happy where I picked up Sheed, though.
Where'd you get him?
pretty late. I'll have to check that out. Sorry, I don't have it on hand. But I mean, where he fell, I was like, I was looking at, do you, I think we figured there was a correlation with his CBAs and his scoring, obviously, and that's what people are worried about with Tim Kelly coming. His scores I was looking at for a guy that's only, you know, 24 and still got improvement in him, I don't know if the drop that he's going to have is going to be as severe as people think. Do you guys think the same, or do you reckon it is sort of that under 90 kind of guy now?
I think the problem is he doesn't have to drop much to become a meh guy. Like, when you're a mid-90s guy, if you drop a mark and a kick, you suddenly become a high 80s guy. Does that make sense?
So,
I think he gets affected by Tim Kelly the most.
So I got him after Bryce Gibbs and Joel Selwood.
Really? That seems like good value then.
Yeah.
Anyway. What round's that? 14? Yeah. I probably would have taken Sheed over Gibbs.
And just ahead of Ed Langdon and old Captain Jag Viney.
I like Jack Viney this year.
Yep, I like him.
Is a Jag.
All right, is that all we got from the Facebook, Steve?
Yep, that's it.
All right, well, subscribe, leave a rating and review. We're still tracking to it. I think, Steve, we're going to have to get you to do something, but I feel like we do have to clear up the air from my... I've got to make the book. I'm going to throw my hand up. I'll make the book. Stato's got to go do this kickflip before we ask for any more ratings. But, Steve, you're up, and we've got to figure out something for you to do. I think it's going to be... it's going to be a good one. But hit up thedraftdoctors.com.au for all things draft. Check out the kit, the mock site. Tune in next week. Is next week the fantasy BNF?
No, that'll be like the end of the month.
Marsh series, baby.
Yeah, it's the end of the month. I've told everyone to have them in by the end of the month. So we got some great names. You'll be super pumped. Like, really, you know, Warney, Supercoach, like Dr. Supercoach guys, MJ. A couple of other ones you might not be familiar with, but do great work. Rudy from the DFS community, he's coming on. Black Dog, so all the big names.
All right, and remember as well, I want to chuck out something there for
Phantom. Let's not forget the Phantom.
For next week, guys, I want to chuck something out for the Twitters. For Cam, kick this off, and I think it's a good idea for the mock site to get involved. Hashtag show us your picks. Hashtag show us your picks. Send in your photos, your screenshots of your mock draft that you've used using the mock draft simulator, and we'll review a team a week or something heading into the season and see how you're going. So show us your picks. Hashtag show us your picks. Thanks for listening, and we will... Oh, Steve, one more.
Yeah, just this is coming out on Wednesday, so I think, Jono, are we doing that draft tonight? The Fox
on the Wednesday, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be, I guess that'll be out on video or something. We're doing
a video and the Twitter fears.
So. Yeah, with the Supercoach draft. Like, I know this is AFL Fantasy, so for the Supercoaches out there, we'll be doing a draft with some of the riders from the Fox or whatever the hell they are.
Fox Footy and the Herald Sun and whatnot. Free KFC.
Woo! I can't believe you're getting free KFC. I'm terrified I could not go into that city, Melbourne. I am terrified of the coronavirus.
Just getting right for that dad bod contest. Ooh, yeah. Just
you'll
might
be
oil
dead.
Myself up with a chicken wing or something.
Dead bod
contest. If you bring coronavirus to our actual draft, I'll be pissed off, Joan.
I'll do it remotely. In my little bubble.
On the Fox draft, seeing as we are at the very end of this podcast, any smack talk, any cheeky smack talk before you head into this one?
I'm walking into Stone Cold Steve Austin and entry music.
Well, I'll be drafting remotely, so I've got a steady box of Harvest Lane on the go.
All right, thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.